Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. How many of you remember the going up to Clayton's Cottages for the church retreat a couple times a year? Anyone remember that? How many of you for church service remember going to St. Olaf's, what was it called? Like St. Olaf's what? Chapel. Weird monuments and dragon faces. And I remember one time, I can't remember if it was Pastor Huber or Pastor Kopacheski, they asked me to lead a song. I don't know why. I don't know why anyone would do that. And so I wanted to sing At the Cross. So I went to, what number was that? That was like 29, At the Cross, right? Well, I didn't know. But there's a song called Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. It is the verses to At the Cross, but no chorus. So I said, all right, we're going to sing Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, because as I read it over, it seemed very familiar. Till I got to the end of verse 1, and there was no chorus. I was like, oh, I've made a terrible mistake. And our church knew it and jumped right in and covered for that. But when we were singing that this morning, don't know why, but that embarrassing moment came vividly back in my memory. Matthew chapter 4 has nothing to do with our sermon. Just being an open book for you here this morning. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, thank you for your hand in our life, how it leads us and guides us along. Lord, thank you that you give us power over temptation. Lord, I pray you'd help us here today as we examine this passage. God, you would give us just help in our daily life. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be in church. It's good to be sitting here with a Bible in lap, and good to have Miss Joyce with us. Joyce is Robert's grandma, and we all love Robert. Robert's got, if you've ever had a conversation with Robert, you'll hear about trucks and you'll hear about wonderful things, and we are blessed to have you here today. Praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 4, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, follows directly after Matthew chapter 3. So every single time you read Matthew 3 and then it goes right to 4. And in our life, you know, say, why are you saying that? That's obvious. Well, at the end of Matthew chapter 3, Christ is baptized. Christ giving us an example of baptism. As a follower of God and as someone that wants to serve the Lord, following my decision for salvation, the next step of obedience is to be baptized. Not that you need to be baptized to get into heaven. It's just a display of what's going on inside your life. A great spiritual victory, if you will. I love when we have baptism services. We set up the pool there and we baptize. Man, the kids come out, they're excited. Directly following this great experience, this great thing going on, what happens? Temptation comes by the devil himself. Can I encourage you, behind or after every great spiritual victory, be not surprised when the devil shows up and trying to get you to fall. Oh, yes, you've made a good decision. Oh, yes, you've come to church. Oh, yes, you're being faithful in your Bible reading. Oh, yes, you've gotten over something. Be not surprised. Do not let your guard down. The enemy is waiting in the tall grass, just waiting for you to make a weak moment. Following baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ enters into a 40-day fast. That's a long time. The devil comes to tempt him. It is not a sin to be tempted. You understand that? But there is a problem with temptation. Say, what's the problem? Temptation leads to something. And if we don't handle temptations right, we're going to find ourselves in sin. Sin is an offense to God. A breaking of God's laws and commandments for us. Once again, it is not a sin to be tempted. But oh, we are on the cusp. We are on the line. There's a problem with temptation. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We know that God is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, meaning He's all places, He has all power, and He knows everything. The devil is not like that. The devil can be only at one place at one time. Satan himself. Now the devil has devils, and there's a truth and a reality to the spirit world. Can't see it, but the Bible tells us about it. But the devil himself, now I'm just saying the chances of us ever really being tempted of the devil himself, maybe few and far between. But certainly the ways of the devil, if you will, an enticement to sin, shows up regularly in our life. There's a problem with temptation. Keep your hand in Matthew chapter 4. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Thankful to have our friends online today. How many people are online right now? 13. Great. Good morning, onliners. All right. James chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." You understand that the temptation that shows up in your life isn't brought there by God. No, he does not desire, he hates sin actually. He hates sin so much that he is willing to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins. He's not trying to get you to sin. No, that's the devil. But every man when he is tempted, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15 of James chapter 1. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is the reality and the truth. Now, sometimes we don't like that. But that is the truth of the matter. Temptation leads to sin. When Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden, they were tempted. Eve was tempted of the serpent. Much like this scenario right here. That's why Christ is called the second Adam. Adam being tempted to eat that fruit that day. And when he ate that fruit, you know what? He sinned. And because of that sin, something was introduced. Death. All men die. It is a curse of sin. Two things for sure, right? Death and taxes, right? We know that. But what we need to be is born again. Because, yes, we will all experience the physical death, but we don't want to experience the consequences for eternity of sin. That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the service, about being saved, being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins. Say, how do I get that? Simply acknowledging that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. Mary herself said, you need a Savior. Hey, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And my life, and your life, what are we faced with? What's the problem with temptation? Temptation leads us to sin. That's the problem. The lust of the flesh, temptation. Is it a sin to be tempted? No, but how we handle that is very important. Look with me in Matthew chapter 26, and we'll move on to our next thought. Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Say, Pastor, this is the first message of the year. It's not very encouraging. Oh, man, imagine if we could get a handle on getting victory over temptation. This would be the greatest year of your life. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Here's a great revelation. But the flesh is weak. How many of you would acknowledge, yes, my flesh is weak? Absolutely. I desire to do godliness and righteousness, but when faced with temptation, on Wednesday we talked about how to make good habits easy. Maybe how many of you programmed your coffee maker this week? Set your Bible out. Tried to do things to make it easy to do right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's things in our life that we should do to remove us from the place of temptation. There's things that we need to get out of our life. Why? Because we know that temptation leads us to the next step, and that's sin. And my life, my flesh sometimes is weak. And the Bible says, hey, look, why don't you pray that you not be led into temptation? Because the problem with temptation is it leads to sin. But if you find yourself, Christ was tempted. Point number one, there's a problem with temptation. Point number two, the inclusion of temptation. Say, what does that mean? Everybody is tempted. Everybody. So how do you know? Because we all have flesh. Everyone is tempted. Even the sinless Son of God. That's what the Bible says. And go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If Christ would be tempted, we also can be tempted. Holding Matthew chapter 4, go with me back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to show you something, though. Hebrews chapter 2. The inclusion of temptation. Everyone experiences this. This message is for everybody. If I came in here and said, all right, I'm going to teach you how to put, how to tie a tie, that only affects half the crowd, and maybe even less than that. If Sarah came up and said, all right, I'm going to show you how to put mascara on, great. That's only half the... Temptation is for everybody. This is all-inclusive. Whether you're... Justin, how old are you? 14? 12. Or... Not 12, Mr. Drolleman. How old are you, Mr. Drolleman? 82. You look good for 82. All right. Temptation goes from the lowest to the oldest. The Son of God, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 18, it says this, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Christ had victory over the temptation, and you know what he wants? He wants to come by and help you with yours. I'm thankful for Brother Burkhart. Say why? Because God has given him a mind and a skill for mechanics. A great skill and a willing and blessing of a heart. And sometimes I get myself into trouble doing mechanics work. I'll call him up and say, hey, is this a job I can do? He's like, oh yeah, you can do that. So I start it and I get about one bolt off and I'm like, I need help. I call him up and he comes. Just happens to have the right tool. Happens to, hey, that's like Christ in our life. That's what that says. God suffered temptation and got victory over it, and he wants to help you get victory over it. He doesn't want to see us drowned in it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God knows exactly what you're facing. God knows exactly what you're experiencing. And he says, I can help you. But everybody needs help. Everybody is tempted. From kings, we read about it in David, Solomon, to peasants. Temptation knows no social status. All it looks at is, do you have a flesh? And if you have flesh, there's a temptation. Everything from kings to peasants. James chapter 1, look at this. This is great. James chapter 1. So you should have told me to keep my hand in James. We've been there a lot. Sorry. James chapter 1. Want to be a help to you this morning? James chapter 1 and verse 14. But every man is tempted. Temptation is inclusive. No one misses it. No one doesn't have to deal with this. No person can say, I am absolved from temptation. I don't have to, this message is not for me. This is for everybody. Even Christ went through that. Every man is tempted. It is, again, like I said, it is not a social status. Oh, the rich don't have to worry about temptation. Oh, the poor don't have to worry about temptation. No. Women don't have to worry about temptation. Men, children don't have to worry. There's nobody that doesn't have to worry about this. This needs to be on everybody's radar because it is your flesh against your spirit. We all have that. So there's a problem. Number two, it's inclusive. No one is missing this. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. We're going to read 3, 6, and 8, and 9. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, and when the tempter, who's the tempter? The devil. By name, Satan himself, it says in this passage. Christ says, get behind me, Satan. Bible tells us in verse 1 that the devil himself. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Look at verse 6. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And verse 8 and 9. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The lie of temptation. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, we see the appeal to his flesh. This has been 40 days since Christ has eaten anything. And the devil says, hey, can't you turn these stones into bread? An appeal to feed the flesh. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, he takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms. I'm sorry. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, if thou be the son of God, cast thyself down. What is it? An appeal to his pride. You can do things that no one else can do. Prove it. I have two teenage boys that live in my house that are constantly proving to one another what they can do and the other cannot. Right now, let me see. How many? How much? How fast? How accurate? That's what the devil is doing to Christ. An appeal to his, what is it? His pride. And then in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, in verse 9, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down. He takes him way up and he says, look out. Look out what you see. He goes, I'll give you this all. An appeal to his eyes. The devil isn't only the tempter, but let us never forget that he is the liar. He's offering God the kingdoms of this world. Now, I know in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that God has given Satan some abilities here in this earth, has blinded some people. But we do know who holds all power. Look at John chapter 8. Not only is Satan the tempter, but let us not forget that he is also the liar. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Abode not in the truth. Nothing he ever says is true. Because there is no truth in him, it says. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Remember when temptation comes up. What you're looking at is not real. Oh, this is going to make me so happy. This is going to make me feel so good. Hey, it's a lie. Temptation is a lie. Because that's what the devil does. Because if he showed you this and said, here, take this. This is going to destroy your life. No, I don't want that. Every now and then we, at our house, we, again, our house is 170 years old. So every now and then people from, or little animals from the outside want to live on the inside. So we allow them to do that for a moment, and then we set things called traps. And I take peanut butter and I put it there because little creatures that live on the outside that want to live on the inside seem to like peanut butter. And it makes them fat. And then it sets the trap so when they stand on it, it snaps them. So when I'm setting the trap and, you know, I'm being very careful and I'm pulling it back, putting it there. Man, snap. That's what Satan does. He says, look at this great little bit of peanut butter I have for you. Oh, this is going to make you so happy. This is going to make you so good. And then snap. It's a lie. I'm lying to the mice. That's exactly what Satan does to us. He makes destruction look enticing. Can't you turn those stones into bread? I thought I heard you could do that. He even quotes scripture. He says, couldn't you throw yourself to the ground? The angels won't let you get hurt, right? Hey, look out over here. I'll give you all this. He's a liar. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Say, honestly, Pastor, the temptation of turning rocks to bread is, although that sounds really neat, I don't have that ability. True. Nor are the kingdoms of this world ever offered to me. True. Nor does Satan threaten me with destroying my life or body to then raise it again. True, but if we could look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh..." Hey, why don't you turn those rocks to bread? What is that? That would be the lust of the flesh, to feed the flesh. "The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes." Hey, look out over those kingdoms. I will give you all those. "And the pride of life." Can't you throw yourself down and be caught by the angels? Prove it that you are the Son of God. Although those actual temptations may never show up in our life, the categories of those do. "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life," the Bible says, "is not of the Father, but is of the world." Nothing has changed. The very things that Christ was tempted with are the very things that you are tempted with every single day. Now, how that shows up will, but these categories will not. Think about the thing that which does so easily beset you. I guarantee it will be either the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life or maybe even a combination of multiple ones. Temptation. Temptation is very real, not just for teenagers, not just for young adults, but for all of us. Even the sinless Son of God was tempted. The problem with temptation is that it leads to sin, and we know sin has consequences. The inclusiveness of temptation is that everybody is tempted. But there's a lie of temptation, that the things that are being offered will actually make us better. Quite the contrary, it will destroy you. Sin never makes it better. Don't be lied to. Man, I hate being lied to. Open up a bag of chips. Looks like this big, right? You open it up, you look inside, and there's a... "Someone got to my chips!" I've been lied to. You read on the outside, 0.5 ounces in a 32-ounce bag. Good grief. Hate being lied to, right? That's what the devil does. Comes with the offer of sin and lies to us. Says, "Oh, I have something that you need, that you want." How we respond to that is important, and that's going to be the heart of our message here. The nature of temptation, listen now. The nature of temptation is a fight within. We think, "Oh, if I can change my external circumstances, I'll be safe." Now, that'll help. If you have a problem with alcohol, don't get an apartment right above a bar, right? If you have a, whatever your sin is, don't be led into that. But you do understand that it is an internal fight. It is the flesh and spirit combating. And our response to the temptation, again, temptation is not a sin, but it certainly does lead us quickly to that. So we need help. You need help. We all need help, remember, because temptation is inclusive. We all need it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God says there's help. I can help you. There is no temptation that will show up in your life that there is not an exit door. The question is, do we take it? Will we take it? James chapter 4 and verse 7. James 4. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and the Bible says, and he will flee from you. In ourself, we do not have the ability to defeat temptation, because in my flesh, the Bible tells me, dwelleth no good thing. But Colossians tells me that Christ is inside of me and you. And the very one that says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he was able to defeat temptation and can help you with getting victory, we need help. Yesterday, my son got a new thing, right? He got a new thing. And he was messing with it and wasn't going back together. And he was getting frustrated. Son, do you need any help? Nope, I got it. Don't know why it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Just like you and I, right? Son, can I help you? Yeah, go ahead, give it a try. Bobo, here you go. How'd you do that? Not saying that to make him feel, or me. I'm just saying sometimes, or it would solve a lot of our problems if we just ask God for some help. How do we get help? Go back to Matthew chapter 4. How do you get help? Matthew chapter 4. We read in verses 3, 6, and 8, and 9 of what the offers were from the devil to Christ. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we see how Christ responded. With lightning and swords. No. Earth opening up and swallowing the devil and sending him right back to where he belongs. No. But he answered and said, it is written. Is he quoting Shakespeare, Victor? No. Plato? No. He's quoting the scriptures. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Every temptation that the devil can present to you, there is an answer in Scripture for you. Here's what we need to do. We need to identify those sins which does so easily beset us, because we do not sin without temptation. There is no surprise. We do not find ourselves accidentally in sin. Every single sin is a choice. It started with a temptation. We had a decision to make. Will I follow through or will I turn away? And identifying the maybe some sin that shows up in your life frequently, maybe we do this. It would be helpful to find Scripture surrounding those temptations. Because how Christ responded every time with every temptation. And look at verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. And he quotes Scripture. Look at verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Every temptation he defeats, combats, responds with Scripture. Well, if that's what Christ did and he got victory, no, I know how to do this. I got this. When the temptation comes, I'm just going to look the other way. Best of luck with that. But the Bible says that having the Scripture inside your heart is incredibly helpful. There is power in the Word of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. As I was writing these things down, I was thinking about the DeMeos who have been praying this armor of God every day. What a blessing that is. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells me in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The temptations, the darts, the snares of the devil, the traps of the devil. How on earth can I defeat that? By the armor of God. And one of the parts of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. That will help you. That will help you get victory. That is the right response. Ever talk to someone and you just ask a simple question and you didn't know that there was a pre-existing condition? I remember I was in junior high school over at Eastridge Junior High School, and at the time I was in a computer class, and every class would switch through, right? You had a class for maybe 42 minutes or some weird number like that, and then you'd go to the next class. Well, I walked into my computer class not knowing anything, and I was whistling the theme song to Andy Griffith. Pretty non-offensive, if you ask me. The teacher came undone on me, yelling and screaming. Say, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there, but I was just come to find out the class previous, the entire class, the entire time was whistling songs, and she could not teach. She thought somehow I got wind of that, and her response was very strange to me. Ever mishandle a response? Ever not handle something rightly or correctly when presented? See, the Bible says that all men are tempted. And every single day, something shows up in your life, an opportunity for sin. How are you going to respond? There's a right way and there's a wrong way. According to the scriptures, God says, as it is written. The power of the word of God will deliver us from the temptation. So that's the end of the passage, Pastor. Now what? Well, all too often we end the passage with that. But there's one more key thought I'd like to draw to your attention. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11 says this. We read the passage, we've dissected it, we've looked at the history of it, what's going on. We see the problem with temptation. We saw how inclusive temptation is. We see the lies of temptation. We see how we ought to respond to temptation. But then at the end, the Lord gives us this little nugget of help. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Man, isn't that a blessing? Victory. The devil left him alone. And the Bible says this, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. A thing I feel like that is often overlooked in the passage is the ministering to after the fact. When you get victory over a temptation, see here, sin. We know what sin does. If you're a Christian, and I do believe Christians still sin, is that correct? Yes. After getting saved, we still have a flesh, and there is a tendency to sin. Now, there's a war on the inside, and I understand that. And God's given us help and an ability not to, but in every sin we do, it's by our own choice. But sin still has an effect in our life, even as a Christian. It separates us from God. There's a break of fellowship between us and the Lord. Maybe even in your own home, you've seen this played out. Sin between two spouses, a spouse and another spouse, husband and wife. All right. I said two spouses, and I was like, is spouse plural? And that's like already husband and wife? Threw me off for a second. I had to clarify. Between a husband and wife. And there's sin there. What happens? Oh, that brings us together. Oh, no, it does not. Breaks fellowship. But what happens in your relationship with the Lord when the devil comes by and presents sin or tempts you and you get victory over it and get away from that? You know what happens? That pleases God. Godliness pleases God. And there will be a lesson learned in our life. A fellowship, if you will, experience. The angels came and ministered unto him. And in James chapter 1 and verse 12, we're told that there's a reward for it. There's a direct blessing in turning from sin. Not only are we missing the consequences of sin, but we're experiencing something. The Bible says that he'll come and minister to us. That's one of those intangible byproducts that are so invaluable. When you say no to sin or that temptation, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to bless you in ways you didn't expect. It's been 40 days. All of a sudden, the angels came and ministered unto him. What do you think they brought him? Probably loaves of bread, a little water. Somehow an encouragement. Do you know that that's what God does in your life? When we have victory over those temptations, somehow God just, in his own perfect way, just comes by and says, I'm going to bless that. I've experienced in my own life, seen it firsthand, multiple times. When you say no to sin, he just seems to open up a situation, a circumstance, and just ministers. Not only do we miss out on the consequence, we get in on a blessing. So what is the message here today? Well, the message here today is that we all have to deal with this. There's no one that is excluded from, excuse me, there's no one that's excluded from temptation. You're all going to have to figure it out. Now, again, temptation shows up differently in everybody's life. But it will be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Somehow in those categories. So how do I get victory? Putting on the armor of God, combating it with the power of the Word of God, resisting the devil, prayerfully asking God for help. Do not ever enter into that interaction and say, I got this. Because you'll be asking for forgiveness. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here today on a wintry Sunday morning. Nice and warm in here. Thankful for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Say, Pastor, you don't know. I've done some really bad things in my life. I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. Hey, if you've never trusted Christ, will you come in a few moments? We're going to have something called an invitation. And I'm going to invite anybody and everybody. If you've never been saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, come forward. This is an altar. What happens at altars? Well, things are sacrificed. Our own self-will, our sin, all of that can be paid for. Number two, Christian, why don't you come get some help this morning? This message doesn't apply. There's no one this message doesn't apply to. It's for everybody. Why don't you come ask for help? Why don't you start the new year off with some help? Lord, can you lead me to those? I need help. Remember, it is not a social status. It is a battle from within. Flesh against spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. Thank you for the honesty that you present in this. Just saying it like how it is. Lord, I pray that as we assemble here together as believers, that, Lord, you'd help us. Help us as individuals that will then in turn strengthen our families, to which then in turn will strengthen the church. But, Lord, we come to you for help. Lord, we need you. Lord, lead us not into temptation. But if we do find ourselves in that, Lord, help us to respond properly. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?